Today's episode of Who Weekly is brought to you by the CW's new series, Kung Fu, premiering Wednesday, April 7th at 8, 7 central, or you can stream free next day on the CW app.
You will drain it. Yeah, 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 they want to know.
To be famous.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And these are 25 things you don't know about Carrie Hilson.
What's your name?
My name is Carrie.
Should we just read
all of them? I do love that Carrie Hilson is doing Spawn for something called Lust, a seven deadly sin story on Lifetime.
From executive producer T.D. Jakes.
Ambition is what we do to promote ourselves.
Lifetime is bringing you two original movies.
But when our ambition becomes your primary agenda.
About the two deadliest sins.
Y'all must be rolling in it.
Envy.
Go and take what's mine. Get a taste of that hot life.
Lust.
She's expanding her brand.
Don't hate her because she's beautiful. Oh, God, that song is so good. It literally starts with My Name is Carrie.
What's your name?
My name is Carrie. I'm so very.
But she's a who. Sorry,
yes,
Carrie.
But no offense. Like, that song will never be not good to me. And it literally reminds you who she is in the song. You know, it's like.
What's your name?
I'm so fly, it's a little bit scary. She all rhymes with Carrie. Boys wanna marry, looking at my dairy.
I'm so very fly, oh my, it's a little bit scary. Boys wanna marry, looking at my dairy. And you can stare, but if you touch it, I'm a berry.
Like, that's amazing.
We're very impressed. You know all the words
I'm
to
saying,
Don't Hate Me Because I'm Beautiful.
Very dairy air, scary. Oh, she's just, I just love it. I'm sorry, I love it. Pretty Girl Rock, great song. I'll play a million clips here. Anyways, let's read this 25 things. We should go back and forth.
Are all eyes on her right now? Maybe now. Maybe right now.
Well,
right now they are.
All eyes, my
all
mean,
eyes
I only
on
have
her.
Two and they're on her 25 things. So technically, she's
me.
Wanted to start at the top. I love this 25 things.
Go
they're
for good. It.
I mean, they're rarely this consistently good.
Yeah, she really took the assignment to heart and she said, you want 25 things? I'm going to give you 25 wacky things.
I'm going to sit down. I'm going to get out my legal pad and I'm going to write out 25 really thoughtful things.
Okay.
This took her an afternoon. I looked at this. I was like, she spent an afternoon. Number one.
What's your name?
My name is Carrie.
Despite my love for movie popcorn, kettle corn, and Mexican corn, I'm allergic to corn.
Oh, sucks. That's terrible, being allergic to corn. Corn's in everything, too.
I know, I can't
Big
imagine.
Corn.
It's like being allergic to palm oil.
Next, number two. At an award show after a party, Prince's security said he wanted to meet me. Oh, my God. He magically appeared beside me from behind a white curtain and left the same way after. One of the only times I've been starstruck. It was just so Prince. I have witnesses.
I feel like you have to add, I have witnesses to Prince stories because they're all like
this. I mean, what did Prince want from Carrie Hilson? Now I want to know.
So she has one great party story and then she follows it up with a not so great party story, which is just Quincy Jones once gave me a foot rub at another party. That sounds not fun.
No, we don't like that. We don't like that. Number four, I'm a very adventurous foodie. I will try anything, especially if it's drenched in sauce.
Same. I love sauce. I've saved, number five, I've saved quite a few bucket list things to enjoy with my future husband. Lately, I'm kind of wishing I had just done them.
God, that
Isn't
is
that, like,
so
wise. It's so wise.
That is so wise.
Who was the, oh, David Cassidy. I was trying to remember, a famous person who died in the past 5 years, and his last words were so heartbreaking, and they reminded me of this, and they were David Cassidy's last words were so much wasted time. I feel like Carrie Hilson saw that and was like, I'm not going to waste time.
I don't know if she saw that, but that is incredibly bleak.
Okay, what's the next one? Is it
number
your turn or
mine? Number six, my first real job was at a mortgage company when I was 15.
Okay. Number seven, juggling is my secret talent. I would love to see her juggle.
Me too.
All eyes on her if she's juggling, I'll tell you that much.
Eight, I don't have a favorite color.
Pretty girl juggle.
I could never seem to choose when asked. I do like that one because you can tell they asked her, what's your favorite color? And she said, I don't have one. And that's like the fact.
When you're filling out your 25 things, think of fun things like, what's your favorite color?
She's
Who's
like,
your favorite
no
artist?
No favorite color. Sorry.
No favorite color. Number nine, love this. I was named after the Carrie lotion that was bedside in the hospital.
Very much.
What a great origin
like
story.
In a movie where somebody has somebody's name and they say stop sign, you know, or they just look and they say lamp, you know, something mm-hmm. like that. It's a joke. This mm-hmm. was, oh, what a beautiful baby girl. What do we name her? Carrie lotion. Carrie.
I would say these two Carries, maybe Carrie Russell, the three most iconic Carries. Yeah. The lotion.
Yeah. Russell.
Carrie Russell and Carrie Hilson.
Wait, the lotion is Carrie. Iconic?
Carrie. Is so very
different. It doesn't feel like ordinary lotion. It's concentrated. It was specially made for dry, rough skin.
Carrie is so very
rich in emollients. It even made my rough elbows and heels soft again.
Carrie is so very
recommended by many dermatologists. So I'll pay more for Carrie. After all, it's the only skin I've got.
Carrie is so very
different.
So very
rich.
So very
recommended.
Carrie is so very. What's your
name? My name is Carrie. I'm so very fly. Oh my, it's a little bit scary.
Well, that's a very famous lotion brand.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like the big, it's like the swooping K. You've seen a Carrie brand.
Maybe.
The swooping K.
Maybe. Interesting she was named after it. We're only at 10. Number 10, I competed for Georgia and the junior nationals for swimming.
Okay. Number 11, I may still hold the record for the most consecutive push-ups in seventh grade. I did 87. Mm. I like that she's like, I don't need to confirm this.
I may own it. Number 12, my craziest fan was a guy who jumped up from a second floor balcony in France for a kiss. It's on YouTube.
Okay, Carrie, I looked everywhere for this video. I couldn't find it.
Not on YouTube.
I don't think it's on YouTube. And then on the web version of this, because this is the screenshot from the magazine, on the web version, they don't link it anywhere. I don't see that. I can't find her mentioning this video anywhere. I can't find the video anywhere. I just like want a link. Number 13, a shirtless Tyson Beckford calendar was definitely on my dorm room wall. Okay. Did you have any shirtless photos on your dorm room wall?
Not my college dorm room.
Not college.
That's
yeah.
a little horny. Okay. 14, whenever I travel, I buy something unique for my home.
It's nice. Number 15, I tend to only splurge on home projects, furniture, and decor.
Number 16, I think you just said 15. Number 16, yeah. I own hundreds of beachfront acreage across the Bahamas. I'm developing a few of them. I'll most likely retire in one of those islands. Oh my God. She owns acreage in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Smart investments.
Climate change. Do you really want to own beachfront property?
Okay, relax.
If I weren't a singer, I'd be a radio or TV host, interior designer, or abstract painter. She'd be good at all three.
Number 18, my 12 plants are my children. They have names, and when I speak to them, they react positively. It's really cool. That's a little deranged.
They react positively.
Okay.
Basketball was my thing in high school. I was MVP my senior year.
Number 20, I broke my nose during a basketball game in 11th grade and somehow reset it when I face smacked into a piece of wood during theater set design class my freshman year of college. Love that.
So she had a broken nose from 11th grade to sophomore year of freshman year of college. So for about 18 months to 2 years, she had a broken nose.
This next one is true chaos. Read it.
The next one. I was in the Congo with Akon when a government coup broke out in the city just a few years ago.
What?
Imagine bringing that up at 21 and then moving on.
And then 22 is, I just really want to score a movie role that allows me to show my athleticism. We just moved so quickly on from being in the midst of a coup.
Carrie, can you tell us more about the coup? And she's like, no, that's enough.
Meanwhile, she's got two things on basketball. She's got three things on home decor. We only get one number on a literal Congo coup that she was a part of.
With Akon.
Meanwhile, moving on, having dusty, dirty feet is my pet peeve. Like, what?
Having dusty, dirty feet is my pet peeve. I never walk on a floor without shoes or slippers. That's smart.
And then number 24, I love horses. I rode English style. Okay, thank you for English styles in brackets for 5 years and Western for a year or two. Oh, that's why they distinguish between the two.
25, the last one, is a little alarming, but okay. I had an unhealthy obsession with fire as a child. I once burned my parents' comforter. Now I have an obsession with candles. That's where we end. It's sort of ominous. Anyway, good. Get ready for wildfire season this summer.
My name is Carrie. I'm so very into fires. It's a little bit scary. That'd be my new Pretty Girl rockers.
God. Don't hate her because she's beautiful. Hate her because she started a fire that devastated hundreds of thousands of acres of land in Northern California.
Okay, moving on.
Moving on. Oh, did you watch Niecy Nash on Red Table Talk?
No, but I bet you did.
It was just so nice to watch, like, a good Red Table Talk, which they usually are, but like Olivia Jade's, you go there just like wanting something spicy, and this was not something where you were looking for spiciness or drama. It was just a wonderful conversation.
You knew it'd be so more sweet than spicy. They probably were not on the attack, like for Olivia Jade. Yeah.
And Niecy said this.
LGBTQ plus Niecy.
There you go. I love that.
Plus Niecy. They're going to have to change that now.
It's so sweet.
They're going to add on plus Niecy.
Do you know she's hosting the GLAAD Media Awards? The interview ends with her just randomly going, I'm going to host the GLAAD, the GLAAD Awards. And you're like, okay.
I love that. Sure. I love that. Welcome. This, like, her being like, I'm gay. Or how does she identify? What is she?
She says, well, she's so new. She says, I'm free. She's like, that's how I, like,
so
identify.
So it's LGBTQ plus NF.
But she talks about, right, she's free. Plus F. Plus FN, she's a free Niecy. It's a really sweet conversation because she talks about, like, it's about coming out, but it's also, she makes it clear, she's like, I was never queer before this. Like, I was into my husbands. I have no problem with my husbands. I identified as straight. Like, this never came into question until I met Jessica Betts.
Right.
And so she's still trying to figure out, like, what labels mean. And it's very, like, the straight person trying to, like, she never had to take the time to understand what, like, cishet meant. And so now she's trying to figure out what labels.
Right, you're not, like, born with the institutional information. You're just mm-hmm. born with the, like, feelings.
Part of the conversation is, like, straight privilege from the perspective of, like, not having to deal with labels ever. And so she's like, this is the first time she's ever had to deal with labels.
Right.
And she's like, I don't know what label I want to use, so for now I'm saying free.
Right.
And it's sweet.
That's
and meanwhile,
sweet.
Jessica Betts comes on halfway through, and she's like, I grew up, I was the child of a preacher, like, and her grandmother was the first black preacher, like, in her neighborhood in Chicago. And she's like, I had to come out early and it was tough for me. And so, like, everything Niecy's doing now, I had to do when I was, like, basically a kid.
Right.
And so she's used to it.
Right.
And they also go into this really good conversation about the way that the press covers divorces, which we've talked about a lot. I think, like, even just in the past year, like, when you see that a celebrity is getting divorced, they may have been separated for many, many months already.
I can say for me, I never cheated on my last husband.
Good.
I never did that.
Right.
And when we got together, it was when that was over. But when the world found out about my divorce, we had already filed. I had been living in another house.
Yep.
It made it look like, to the world, 5 minutes
yep.
passed.
Yeah.
She was just, what? She just married. I got a lot of that in social media.
Yeah.
You was just married.
Mm-hmm.
No, I wasn't.
They're right. not looking in at your every inner-day life. Mm-hmm. Like.
Yeah, so they piece the pieces together yep. to make a story that they could handle.
Right.
Yeah.
I cannot think of a celebrity divorce or breakup that has been reported that hasn't been, they separated a month or two ago. It's never yeah. on the dot. It's always, there is time between, and it could be anywhere from a few months to a year or whatever, depending. Mm-hmm. The only one that yeah. recently I thought was like, oh, this seems like this news broke close to when it actually happened was Kim and Kanye. But we don't know the degrees of a separation for them or whatever, because it's like, you know, it's blurry. The lines are blurry between, like, were they broken up? Were they divorced? Mm-hmm. You know, like, they could have just been in separate places for a long time. Like, that, it's interesting that they say that, because I do think that applies to pretty much every single celebrity divorce announcement, is like, they actually have been broken up for a while now.
Yeah. And I feel like the only reason it happens to Kim and Kanye when you're that famous, people are, like, checking in on you every once in a while. Like, they're getting the check-ins on their relationship more frequently than the people who don't have
well,
that much
paperwork
attention on them.
Is filed, yeah. is checked more often. It's like, right. It's like if you're looking for paperwork, if you're looking for official court documents, then yes, they're going to be more attuned to those being filed.
A lot of the headlines about this episode made it seem like it was more revealing regarding Jada and Willow than it actually was. There was nothing really revealing here. It was just a really sweet, sweet, sweet conversation.
Right.
Jessica is too real. At one point, she's like, oh, yeah. And then when we were skinny dipping in the hot tub, and Niecy's like, fully humiliated, and she's like, you keep giving too many details. Like, I would never give this many details. It's funny, like, how non-media trained she is.
LGBTQ plus Niecy. Yeah.
My Posner is climbing Mount Everest again. Didn't he? Wait, he walked across the
No,
country?
He walked across America. He's doing another, like, charity stunt.
So he did his stunt, and now he's like, that worked pretty well. We got coverage on Who Weekly. We're gonna now climb Mount Everest.
Yes. And they're going, he's raising funds for a Detroit-based charity.
That's great.
And he goes, so excited to announce, this May I'll be attempting to summit the tallest mountain on Earth, Mount Everest, with Dr. John Ketsky in order to raise funds for Just City Detroit. Please donate what you can, prayer hands, or just share the GoFundMe link.
For walking across the country, it seems easy, but it's hard because it takes forever. And there's like a lot of kind of dangers and weirdness in doing that. Like things that you could come across that you wouldn't even know. And no one is necessarily going to like Sherpa you across the entire damn country, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I know. I've seen Wild. So I'm familiar.
I just feel like it's a very, we have two very different things. One has like kind of a system around it. And the other one is not necessarily something where you can just call up somebody and say, hey, I want to walk across the country. Can you help me? Mm-hmm. You have a system to do that. Can you help me do that? You know?
Yeah. What's his song again? I took a pill in Ibiza.
Okay. I took a pill in the Himalayas. He should not take a pill while summiting Mount Everest. That would be bad. Speaking of climbing things, I have a mini game that I'm going to put right in the middle here. And it's other things that celebrities are climbing. And I want you to guess based on the headline who's doing the climbing. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
Okay, ready?
Is it going to be multiple choice or do I just have to know?
It's going to be multiple choice. Okay?
Okay.
Here
we
go.
Okay. I can do this. I can do it.
These are the headlines from the Daily Mail. Free spirit. Blank looks chic in blue bohemian dress as she climbs on a playground in Sydney barefoot. Is this Natalie Portman, Paris Jackson, or Isla Fisher?
Oh, Natalie Portman.
Nope, it's Isla Fisher.
What? Oh, I thought, why, isn't Natalie Portman in Sydney right now?
Yeah, but Isla Fisher is there too. You got that wrong.
She's there too. I always forget that she's Australian.
Quote, I'm so hot right now. Just climbed like 58 sets of stairs. Blank, 39, gets puffed out in Portofino, but inspires her fans on social media. Is this Gemma Collins, Rebel Wilson, or Paris Jackson?
Paris Jackson is in all these things. I don't think it's Rebel Wilson because I don't think she's in Portofino right now.
It's not. These aren't current.
Oh, who was the first one?
Gemma Collins.
No, it's Gemma Collins.
No, it's Rebel Wilson.
Well, God damn it. Okay. Okay.
I ate, I prayed, I climbed a volcano. Blank embarks on new spiritual quest after tweeting about cleansing her chakras. Is this Katy Perry, Demi Lovato, or Paris Jackson?
Katy Perry.
That's correct.
Oh my God. Okay, good. Okay, good. I almost said Paris Jackson because she's throwing me for a loop here. She's in all of the answers.
Blank says she was naked when she climbed the sign of the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel during Wayne Coyne's birthday party. Is this Paris Jackson, Tana Mongeau, or Miley Cyrus?
Fuck. Miley Cyrus is the obvious answer because I know she's friends with Wayne Coyne. I'm going to say Paris Jackson.
No, it's Miley Cyrus.
Fuck.
Why are you overthinking it?
I don't know.
Okay, next question. Strip that down. Blank recalls the time an overeager fan climbed two stories and stole his underwear from his Sydney hotel room while he slept naked on the bed. Is this Liam Payne, Justin Bieber, or Paris Jackson?
This sounds like a Liam Payne story.
It's Liam Payne.
Yeah.
Also, Strip That Down. That's his song.
Yeah, okay, okay. I didn't even think about that. Okay. Oh no, I didn't know a Liam Payne song.
I'll never forget this. Singer Blank climbs the Sydney Harbour Bridge during Christmas break down under. Is this Sam Smith, Paris Jackson, or Billie Eilish?
Stop saying Paris Jackson. It's driving me crazy. Also, why is everyone climbing in Australia?
I don't know why these are all Australian.
Okay, Paris Jackson.
No, this is Sam Smith.
God damn it.
Next one. Makeup-free Blank looks like she's just climbed out of bed on a shopping trip. Is this Paris Jackson, Pam Anderson, or Tori Spelling?
Tori Spelling.
That is incorrect. It's Pam Anderson.
Damn it. Okay.
Okay, last question. Still got it. Blank, the former action hero, tries to impress his new girlfriend, Blank, by leaping over the fence after getting locked out. These are old headlines. And I don't have any multiple choice for this. Just guess.
Is it Bruce Willis?
No.
Oh. Oh, it's Ben Affleck and Ana de Armas.
That's correct.
Yeah. All right. All right.
You did okay, considering. You did okay. You did okay.
I'm sorry. How was Paris Jackson not an answer to any of
them? That was the trick. I made them. That's how they were difficult.
It was hard. It was a great red herring.
Yeah. That was what was supposed to trip you up. And you know what?
It was
worked
really good.
Because
you did a really good job.
Thanks.
You did a really good job. I'm like, my brain is hurting right now. It's actually hurting. Always gonna be an uphill battle. Helix mattress. I love my Helix pillow. What else is there to say about Helix? I freaking love it. When I sleep on other beds,
what is there
I
else
get
to
mad.
Say is that I come back to my bed and I'm like, this is the bed. This is the bed. And it's honestly spoiled me for other beds. And I don't like traveling sometimes because I'm like, this is not my bed. Where's my bed?
I want my bed.
It's my special bed. It's my special mattress because it is a mattress that is made for my body.
Mm-hmm. I took the Helix quiz. It told me which Helix mattress to get, and that's the one I got, and that's the one that I love, and that's yes. the one that I will not stop mm-hmm. using because it's the best mattress I've ever slept on. Mm-hmm. The mattress is so good that when we got it, my cat Winston became obsessed with it, and now he's on it all the time, and I'm
no
like,
way.
You have to move because
no
I
way.
Need to sleep on the bed. It's my bed. It's not your bed.
Wow.
He's obsessed with it. It's
wow.
irritating, actually.
Wow.
He likes
okay.
the Helix
rude.
So much.
It's so rude.
Every body is unique, and I mean every body, two words, because everyone sleeps differently. Their bodies are different, and that's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. I'm a side sleeper / stomach sleeper. Some people are back sleepers. Some people are exclusively side sleepers. There's a Helix mattress for all of you. Not only is the Helix the best mattress I've ever slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Their mattresses are delivered in a box and straight to your door. You just open it up and it like kind of like blows back up after it comes out of the plastic and you put it on your bed and it's amazing. Plus, Helix mattresses all come with a 10 or 15 year warranty depending on the model. And if you don't want to take our word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/who. That's helixsleep.com/who. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
I was in Florida this past weekend, and guess what was the talk of the town?
Your mom's Aura frame?
The Aura frame. The Aura frame was scrolling through every photo. I was like, oh, there's that. Oh, there's that. I'm like, where'd they get that photo? There's always a photo where I'm like, where'd they get that photo? How'd they get that photo?
I don't know where my mom gets the gifts that she sends me. Like when she sends me a text gift, I'm like, where did you find that? And sometimes I look at her Aura frame and I'm like, where did you download this?
No, I'm like, where did you get this photo from? Whose Instagram did you steal this photo off of? You know?
They love to steal from, and they love to just screenshot and not crop.
Yeah.
So it'll just
oh.
be like a cropped iPhone
photo
that's
Instagram.
On the Aura frame.
Exactly. With comments and everything. It'll just be on, it'll be zoomed in sometimes. So it's extra blurry, but you know what? That's how easy it is to get the photos on the Aura frame because my parents can figure out how to do it. Do they do
yes.
it well? No, but do they do it? Yes.
And the other thing that's great about Aura frames, when you give them to your mom, your mother, a mother in your life, a mother mm-hmm. figure, it's a great Mother's Day gift. Whoever the mother in your life is, you can connect it to your
oh, yeah.
Aura app. And
you
can just
photos.
Send them photos. You
right.
can, if they approve it, you can just put photos and kind of troll them and have fun and put random photos. I do it to Lindsay sometimes.
Yeah, he does.
You can do it to your mom. My mom gave me access because she likes putting
you gotta
likes
be careful.
My app photos.
You got to be a little careful with that. But you could do it. But you should do it.
You got to be a little bit careful. But
you
Aura frames
it.
Are Wi-Fi connected and they come with unlimited storage because it's all in the cloud. So you can share as many photos as you want from your phone to mom's frame. Not only will she be grateful it's not another sweater, she'll love that an Aura frame means she gets to see more of you. So right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code WHO at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Were your grandmother getting bullied by her father? This is my, mm-hmm. this is hilarious. This is like so funny. Kelsey Grammer's daughter Greer, who is being interviewed because she's in that terrible movie with Kristen Davis that's on Netflix that everyone's like kind of being rude about. And then Kristen Davis is on Twitter being like, sorry, like, what's up guys? Hey. You
Not
know?
Even using words. She's just sending emojis.
Well, she is like interacting with people who are talking mm-hmm. about her movie Deadly Illusions, which I think is about like a nanny fucking the parents or something.
You're Mary Morrison, best-selling author.
I haven't written in a while.
What you need is a full-time sitter.
The girls she recruits cook, they clean, everything.
I think that you will be very pleased with what we can offer.
I'm Grace.
Hi, Grace.
She can't be real.
You are a godsend. You don't have to take care of the kids and me.
I know, but I like to.
It is.
That's what it's about?
Greer, who plays a complicated and mentally ill nanny alongside Kristen Davis, 56, and Dermot Mulroney, 57, was just a baby
oh,
when her dad
idiot.
First starred in Frasier.
I thought Kristen Davis was the nanny when you were describing it, but no, she's the parents.
No offense to Kristen Davis, but she's not the nanny.
Okay, I got it. Okay. It keeps getting suggested to me.
You won't watch it.
I might. I mean, I watched Twist.
I wonder if this is, we'll get there. I wonder if this is better or worse than the last Kristen Davis Netflix movie I watched with Rob Lowe, where she went to Africa and like met some elephants.
And met some elephants. That was just spawn for elephants. It was the spawn for the charity. Yeah, she's becoming the what's her name? Candace Cameron Bure of Netflix.
Oh my God.
Holiday on the Wild. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Holiday on the Wild.
Thank you.
I couldn't remember the name, and I know I watched it.
I did watch that. We back to Greer. Hold on. Sorry.
Okay. So what did she do?
Headline is, Kelsey Grammer's daughter, Greer, reveals why she's nervous to ask dad for a role in Frasier reboot. This is like one of the rudest taken out of context quotes, but it is funny. Greer told Hollywood Life exclusively during an Instagram Live Q&A while promoting the movie on April 2nd. The movie is the Illusions movie.
Okay.
I don't know how to ask. Even though you think that I would, that it would be a no-brainer. Like, Dad, get me a role. But I'm always so nervous asking my dad for things, she confessed.
So someone asked her if she was interested in being in the reboot, and that's
said,
how she responded.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, why don't you ask him? And she was like, I'm scared. It's like, oh, God.
There is a reboot. I think that's all I can say because I don't really fully know anything, but no. I do know that it is in the process of happening. They're discussing. So that's coming. I don't think I'm going to have a role in it, but I would obviously love to. That would be a dream come true.
I mean, if your dad was Kelsey Grammer, wouldn't you be afraid to ask him for anything?
Oh, I wouldn't ask him for shit. But I just think it's funny that she's like telling the truth on that one. She's like, I don't want to I'm not asking him for anything.
Well, she doesn't know. I mean, do you think that Camille asked? Because as I was doing my horrible Frasier watch,
Camille
shows up in an episode.
And
she's
an
extra.
She's like a
sexy party goer.
I'm sure Camille got shoehorned into that show. No problem. Any project.
If Camille got in, Kelsey's going to find a way for this woman, Greer, to be on Frasier in some way.
That's true.
There's no way he's not. I think so many of them aren't even coming back. Like, what is this show going to be?
You tell me. I didn't watch Frasier in the first place. So moving on, here are some people getting married who I don't know.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Exclusive. Aidan Turner's secret Italian wedding. Paul Darkstar married Caitlin Fitzgerald in August with just his parents present, as newly unearthed pictures show loved up couple wearing gold bands on their summer honeymoon.
Okay, relax with the word unearthed. This happened like 6 months ago.
I mean, it's just funny how it's like, did you save these photos? Like, where'd these photos come from? Clearly, like, no one cared or knew. These people got away with getting married in quote unquote secret, but it seems like it wasn't even secret. It just wasn't a thing that anyone really cared about. Fine by me, you know?
Right. Well, it's actually sort of a brilliant press move to get married low-key, not secret because you're just not super famous, and then announce it months and months later.
I mean, not even announce, just smooch.
But frame it as a secret wedding, knowing that people say, it's a secret wedding, when really it's like no one cares because you're not famous enough. It's a good way of like inflating your level of fame.
Well, they're also like equally famous, which is fun. You know, they're like both kind of, you know, TV people you might remember from TV.
Mm-hmm.
She's was on Mad Men. And actually, one time I met her in person. Yeah, she was in Masters of Sex because she maybe dated Michael Sheen, who was a co-star. I remember this. Mm-hmm.
I liked this interview that's mentioned in the story about this new marriage. They say the pair have largely kept their romance low-key, with Aidan saying in a 2019 interview, I do have a girlfriend, yeah. And so I found the interview from 2019. It was in the Sunday Times. And it says, we return to the subject of his recent trip to New York, and a Cheshire Cat grin creeps across his face. Were you visiting friends, I ask? Yeah, yeah, he replies unconvincingly.
Oh my God, this
a girlfriend,
like
perhaps?
Porno writing.
I do have a girlfriend, yeah, he says, eyes fixed on the floor. Does she live in New York? Maybe, maybe, he trills, crumpling into laughter. And it's like, it's so much less interesting than this makes it seem,
right.
I guess, is what I'm saying.
Right.
Like, they're so boring and they have to force intrigue into these two people who are just so dull.
They met on the set of a movie called The Man Who Killed Hitler and then The Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was in Massachusetts, but it was just filmed in Massachusetts. They met I thought the movie
was
like
called
in
The Man Who Killed Hitler in Massachusetts.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's interesting. We're in Massachusetts. But no, it just was filmed near Boston in Massachusetts, this movie where they met.
The Man Who Killed Hitler and Then the Bigfoot.
Right.
An adventure drama.
Insiders claim they rarely mingled with other cast members while staying at the Deerfield Inn.
I believe it. Do you know who starred in that movie?
Who?
Sam Elliott.
Is it out?
It came out.
And?
It looks like it. No one cared.
Okay, well.
It looks like it premiered at some very, very small film festivals.
Lovebirds together, so that's nice.
That's nice. Lindsay, you didn't even point out the reason she's most famous.
No, you tell me.
I put in a screenshot.
I know it's shocking. But I think this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. Your mother and I have been seeing each other ever since New York.
Mom, this is true.
That part is. But...
Why is everyone crying? Why isn't this good news?
Because we're still getting over the divorce.
She's one of the horrible children, and it's complicated.
Oh, sure,
I put
sure,
a screenshot
sure.
of them in bed yeah. being like, you're cheating. You're having an affair with Dad.
Sorry,
oh, my God. You're
I
ruining our lives.
This.
They're in their 20s.
All right. So moving on to the next couple who's getting married, who I don't know. Pro golfer Brooks Kopecka gets engaged to actress Jenna Sims. And this is great because then you get this. On Thursday, April 1st, the 32-year-old Sharknado 5 global swarming actress announced that she is engaged to a 30-year-old pro golfer.
You rarely hear about golfer relationships among golfers who aren't Tiger Woods. You know?
I mean, I feel like there are some golfers that come up in tabloids, like Jack Nicklaus, like the kind of the oldies, the
He's like classic old guys.
Right. Not for dating, but like just in general.
This is rare. I find this refreshing.
These are two people who are also equally famous, which I love.
They're equally famous. However, a few years ago at the U.S. Open in 2017, I found this really good headline from, I think, Golf Digest. U.S. Open 2017, Joe Buck, who I think is just a golf announcer, misidentifies Brooks Kopecka's girlfriend, Jenna Sims. And on air, they refer to her, this woman, Jenna Sims, as his ex, Becky Edwards. And there was a bit of a minor furor, and then they fixed it up, and someone corrected him, was like, actually, Joe, that's his new girlfriend, Jenna Sims. So apparently he has a type because she looks just like her.
That's funny. Also, this weird write-up. Sims has also been in several movies, including something called Three-Headed Shark. So she was in two movies with sharks?
Mm-hmm.
She was in Sharknado 5 and a movie called Three-Headed Shark?
That's her.
Or is that the same movie?
No, it's a different movie because I looked it up.
It's wild.
It's a different movie.
Wow. Yeah. Incredible.
He has a type and she has a genre. You want to know other movies that she's been in?
Yeah.
And it's not even part of the Sharknado franchise, which I find even
more intriguing.
That's
what I'm saying. It's like a different scary shark movie.
Yeah, she's been in Three-Headed Shark as Dr. Laura Thomas, you know.
A doctor.
And then in Sharknado Heart of Sharkness, she was NATO Delegate Lee.
Sure.
And then in Sharknado 5 Global Swarming, she was playing the same character, NATO Delegate Lee. She's in Tales of Frankenstein. A lot of things about monsters. A lot of monsters here.
Maybe
the 50-foot
she's
cheerleader.
She's got a good scream.
Maybe. I can't confirm. I've only seen the IMDb. I haven't seen any of the actual movies.
You're going to be in a new film?
I am. It comes out on Saturday, the 25th, on FX at 10 p.m. It's called Attack of the 50-Foot Cheerleader. It's produced by Roger Corman. And I play the lead. I play Cassie Stratford. And it's kind of like a remake of Attack of the 50-Foot Woman, the Daryl Hannah version, but with some twists and some cheerleading thrown in there.
A couple where I know one of the people, but not the other. Bethany Frankel, I would say, maybe is like them territory we're talking, right?
Yeah, she's that mean.
But she's engaged to this guy named Paul. And I wouldn't say this is very interesting because he's mostly just some guy named Paul. And he is divorced. And that's really it.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're engaged, you know?
And now they're engaged. He's divorced. I think I was trying to find more about his ex-wife because I saw some stray mention in Hollywood Life that said he was previously married to Ashley Burnham, a well-known figure in the Boston social scene.
I'm sorry.
They divorced in 2017.
Huh, what?
And I was like, exactly. And I was like, oh, Lindsay, do you know of this woman? You're part of the Boston social scene. No, so I was really hoping to unlock some like beautiful tapestry of facts about this Boston socialite, but it was just so boring. Like, I feel like if you lived in Boston, you might have an anecdote about this woman, but like, I really wanted something funny to come out of it. Like, you know, when you like find a new who and you're like, this is going to unlock something. I'm going to find something great. And usually you do.
You didn't.
I didn't. And it kind of bummed me out. I was like, everything about this woman should have been a who treasure trove.
But it's
and
it not. Wasn't. Yeah, it's just it's a not. Disappointment.
And they're boring.
That's how I feel about Bethany. And yeah, like we had two great who couples before her. And now we just have Bethany and this guy named Paul. It's like she knows
she cares about Bethany.
She knows she found a boring guy. I mean, I think people do care about Bethany. And what I do love about this, again, not focus on Bethany, focus on Paul for the who aspect of it all. But did you realize that Bethany announced that she was or like her engagement dropped the same day as the new trailer for Housewives of New York? That is not by accident. That is on purpose. That is petty as fuck. And I honestly, you have to stand mm-hmm. that type of weird, conniving bullshit from Bethany Frankel. I fucking love it. The same day they dropped.
She's an OG, I guess, so.
But she was like, not only will I not be on this show, but you can't even have most of the spotlight on the day that the trailer drops.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that, I was going to say that the Jen Shah drama was sort of like taking up all of the Housewives press.
No.
But like, I feel like they all, it's very like, what is that?
It's franchise mutually specific. Beneficial. It's franchise specific too. So it's more like Bethany outpacing the trailer is a different vibe than Jen Shah. It's not like Jen Shah is stealing the air from like the other franchises. That's not how it works.
Is it like what's good for the goose is good for the gander? Am I using that right? Like if Salt Lake City is having a lot of drama and attention, is that good for the other?
I mean, probably. I wouldn't say it's not. It's like, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Think
that must be how it works.
Maybe.
Sunday was Easter. I hear there were a lot of sexy Easter bunnies on Sunday. You collected some.
There were three. Three sexy Easter bunnies. The thing is,
than I expected.
I actually don't really understand sexy Easter bunny. Like, it seems not great. It seems like it's not really a thing. And so when people do it, you're like, interest, you know, like even people who are normally into Easter stuff are like, I don't know if this really tracks, you know, not that I think mm-hmm. Easter is like some super religious holiday. Like people like go egg hunting. It's like not, you know, it's pretty, mm-hmm. there's traditions that are pretty secular about it,
mm-hmm.
but sexy Easter bunny, I feel like does creep everybody out. Nobody wants a sexy Easter bunny, right?
No, no one wants sexy Easter bunny. No one wants sexy Santa.
So we had three sexy Easter bunnies, one of which was Vanessa Hudgens,
uh-huh.
who was in a crop top as she posed with her BFF Gigi Magree, and she wrote "Baddest Bunnies."
It's not a full cosplay. Like we have to explain. Like she's in.
It's not a full. I'm sorry. What would a full cosplay look like if you're dressing?
Like she's
a sexy
not in like
Easter
a furry
bunny.
Costume. You know, she's not in some furry costume with like a bikini over it. Like Gritty's sister. What's her name? I already forgot her name.
Whose sister?
Brittany. Brittany.
She's not. No.
Like this isn't a Brittany situation.
She's not in like a. First of all, if you want to be a sexy Easter bunny, you can't dress like Brittany. You can't cover your whole body. You can't like do furry. You know.
You could if you were really committed to the bit. You could.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying. You know, basically, you're gonna dress like. So this other one is Chloe Ferry, who I think is a UK-based, you know, Geordie Shore.
She's
star.
Geordie Shore. She's
she
Geordie Shore.
She dressed as a sexy Easter bunny, but she dressed more as a Playboy bunny. I think that's more mm-hmm. of what we're getting here.
That's what you would expect. If you said sexy like, Easter bunny, you would expect
call
Playboy bunny.
This Playboy bunny outfit an Easter bunny. I'm sorry. That's not a crossover we recognize.
And then what was Amanda Holden's?
Well, she's a TV personality. So I think that she did it like on air with her coworker or something.
Right. Okay. That was sort of an actual costume too. They held carrots.
Amanda Holden and Ashley Roberts flashed their tanned legs in jumpsuits as they dress up as Easter bunnies.
Mm-hmm. I did not dress up as an Easter bunny.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I didn't either. The Britain's Go Talent judge. Isn't Britain's Got Talent or is Britain Go Talent? Whatever. Poked fun at the little farmyard scene, writing on Instagram, we downsize the Playboy mansion. Oh, because it's like a barn and mm-hmm. there are bunnies at the barn. Mm-hmm. All right.
There's a video. Right. If you Google her, there's a video. That's called 7 Amanda Holden sexy outfits that got her in trouble on Britain's Got Talent. So it's, she dresses sexily frequently, it seems.
Yeah.
And it gets her in trouble on America's Got Talent.
So sexy Easter bunnies, I would say they're not really a celebrity thing. I would basically like confirm that it's not really a thing via the kind of lack of engagement with the sexy Easter bunny trope by celebrities this year.
I really think that the only time that costumes are a themy thing is Halloween. That's a boring answer, but I think that's the only answer.
Like, but I mean, I feel like who's, you know, they find reasons to dress up all the time, but mm-hmm. it's like sexy Santa, like all these things, but sexy Easter Bunny is not a thing we're claiming. And I do think also even the Playboy Bunny dressing up like that has kind of gotten out of gone out of fashion as a look.
Yes, I think so too. But I think that, like, I guess what I meant to say, like a more succinct way of putting it is that, like, who's dress up in costumes all year round? Them, save it for Halloween.
That's true.
You know?
That's true. You have to decide whether you're a who or a them in that aspect. Do you dress up in costumes all the time or do you save it for Halloween?
He looks like a deranged Easter bunny.
He does not.
He does too. He looks like a pink nightmare.
What did BJ Novak do?
This is so strange that I kept putting it off because we didn't have time for it. And I'm still like trying to figure out a time to talk about it, which is now. Because actually he just did his first official press on it versus keeping it kind of a secret. He did a Hollywood Reporter kind of blip on it. Or like they
because
did a blip
on it. Because
you've
been wanting to talk about this for like 3 weeks?
Well, somebody called about it.
I would say.
Somebody called about it. And I was like, oh yeah, I noticed that too. And then I had done some research on it and it kept going from doc to doc until finally now we have the time to talk about it, which is that BJ Novak launched this weird, it's funny because the reveal of this is like so stupid. He launched this weird food pop-up called Chain Restaurant or The Chain. And it's like chain food, like chain restaurant food, but it's limited edition and you have to buy it on Instagram. Like it drops and then you have to buy it on Instagram and then go pick it up. Like, it's all the least fun things about food together in one, which is just, it's incredible to combine.
You have to DM to order food on Instagram.
I mean, I love a food pop-up, but I'm like, here are the least fun things about food combined, meaning I'm eating chain-adjacent food. I'm eating chain food, but I don't get to sit at a chain restaurant and, like, order a big funny margarita and, like, yell at my friends. I have to... ordered on Instagram, spend more money than I would at the chain restaurant, which is another disappointment. Then I have
to go pick it up,
maybe run into BJ Novak. That's weird. I guess that's like not a negative for everyone, but it would be for me. And then get this food that tastes, it's engineered to taste like the original chain food, but it's not the chain food.
It's a WeHo pop-up that serves gourmet takes on dishes from TGI Fridays, Chili's, and California Pizza Kitchen. Why would I not just go get a buffalo chicken pizza from California Pizza Kitchen? That is ridiculous.
Why wouldn't you?
That is ridiculous.
Why wouldn't you?
I think that like gourmet takes on, I'm going to call them comfort food. Like, I want the comfort food. I don't understand the appeal here, I guess, is the fundamental
problem
I have with
this. I'm just saying there's no, you know... Am I adverse to being at a cool restaurant and they're like, oh, we do something that's kind of a play on the Bloomin' Onion, but it's like fancy. I'm like, sure, let's try it, whatever, interesting.
Yeah.
But literally, I think they're just making the Bloomin' Onion here. Like they're literally just making, it's called the Bustin' Onion. They're trying not to get sued by Outback by calling it the Bustin' Onion.
Can a California lawyer find a way to sue these people? Like, please. This reminds me of an iconic Thanksgiving in my household. I think it was when my sister started college and she came back and she was like, I want to cook Thanksgiving dinner this year and I want to like make fancy versions of everything. And my mom was like, I'm not sure how I feel about this. My sister was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to brine the turkey. I'm going to make homemade green bean casseroles with homemade cream of mushroom soup and homemade green bean. And like nothing was canned basically.
Yeah.
And she spent all this time making this like,
was it good?
Quote unquote gourmet.
No.
We were all like, this sucks.
Wow.
And my sister was like, I'm sorry. That was a waste
so
of time. I should
have
just made everything like normal. But I mean, it's the truth. That's what I'm thinking of here. It's like, why do I want this nice version of the original when the fact that the original is not fancy is what makes it.
It's also funny because the chef who he's working with is this guy named Tim Hollingsworth, who was on Chef's Table.
He is
a chef at Odeum. Odeum is a really fancy, really expensive restaurant in LA. And this poor chef, who I hope is making some money or getting clout from this, has to make fucking Bloomin' Onions.
So it was BJ Novak's idea.
Well, he had the idea. He was like, it's my dream. He said it on a podcast. He said it on the food podcast, Air Jordan. He said he wanted to find potential investors and a chef. The idea was basically, it's a restaurant called Chain. It's a chain-themed restaurant. And they'll have leather booths with the onion blossom, the cheeseburger, all the classic items, the sports bar TVs, a big laminated menu. I can't say I'm against the idea of this as a physical space. I do think it's like, cool. It's like, oh, it's essentially a diner, but they only serve like fancier takes on chain food. But this is not, he can't.
I'm not going to follow up on this comment. I'm just going to say it and walk away. This is classist. Like, I'm sorry. This is classist and I don't like it.
That's true. It is.
I'm just going to write a letter. This is classist. Bobby. But this reminds me of, I was on.
Because it's definitely more expensive than, and not chain food. Not all chain food is cheap. Let's be honest.
No, it's not.
But this is definitely more expensive than.
A bunch of money at Applebee's. Are you kidding?
Right. But you know what I'm saying. But this is definitely more expensive than it. Yeah.
The followers, I looked at the mutual followers, because they're private. You have to request to follow, and they have some followers. And this is from the Who Weekly account, so these are mutuals. Nolan Gould of Modern Family fame follows.
Sure.
Caitlin Dever
follows.
Patrick Schwarzenegger follows, and Kiernan Shipka follows.
Yeah.
So
even like Mindy Kaling did the like kind of shout out to Chain.
And Mindy Kaling doesn't follow.
Well, she probably just went once and never again. The other thing that cracked me up was in this description that somebody wrote about this restaurant. They wrote fries that taste better than Mickey D. Tell me. I'm sorry.
Fuck you.
I'm sorry. Hold on.
Fuck you.
Just like, objectively, there is no such thing as fries that taste better than McDonald's. Are there fries that are better for you than McDonald's?
Time the fuck out. That is ridiculous.
McDonald's
yet again,
fries
classist.
Are literally engineered by the best science that America has made since the moon landing. I mean, or before the moon landing. Like it is
before.
It is the best minds in America have created science that makes Mickey D French fries taste better than anything else on the planet. This is like the science that is going to eventually cure cancer. Do you know what I mean? This is American innovation. And you saying that these fries are better than Mickey D is a big whopping no. Sorry, that's a no from me, dog.
Electricity, right? You got Tesla and Edison. Electricity. You got McDonald's French fries. You got the moon landing. You got mRNA vaccines.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's
speak on it.
I'm speaking on it. Like, that's what we have. And this guy has the audacity. To come and say, I'm going to do it better. And then he starts by saying, you know, my family and I love chain restaurants. I love it all. So I'm going to improve it. The ego on this person. I love surprise outrage. I'm like outraged.
I know. It's so funny to me. It's so funny.
I'm going to write a senator.
It's so funny to do something
like this. Shut
this
place down.
Go to Odeum. This reminded me. It's delicious. It's expensive, but at least you're getting like expensive food that's expensive seeming, not like
not
a faux expensive blooming onion, you know?
Hey, you worked with Mindy Kaling on that show, and she said on Howard Stern,
yes,
that you were her great love. Is there something you want to tell us about Mindy Kaling?
It's funny. This is what happens. I get so tongue-tied trying to explain.
Maybe this music will help you give it up. I shouldn't have that thing. I know.
Thanks for making it less awkward.
We're going to tell you about a new show called Jocular, hosted by ER Fightmaster, whom we've talked about on the podcast before, Tien Tran, and Katie Kershaw. They're comedians, they're writers, and they're also best friends who are obsessed with women's sports. Kind of like I'm becoming obsessed with women's sports.
You are.
They're exploring all things queer, trans, and women focused in the world of sports, and in each episode they'll cover the latest games, debate pressing issues, and review how they're all really horny for basically everyone in the game. This is every time I talk to someone who's a fan of women's sports, like a genuine fan of women's sports, not like a newbie like me, they're like horny. I'm horny for all of them.
I know, they're always crushing on people in the game. But that's why it's like we need a podcast that's not us to kind of tell us what we're supposed to care about, who we're supposed to care about, who's hot and who's sexy and who we're paying attention to.
Yes, and that's what Jocular is for. Friends and experts will join to share their takes on sports ranging from women's basketball to soccer to power slapping. I don't even know what power slapping is, but I'm in. So tune in every Friday for new episodes of Jocular on Apple, Amazon, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts now. We got new boots, and I'm so thrilled. They're Tecovas boots. And you know why I'm so excited about getting Tecovas boots and why I was so happy to get mine in the mail? Because why? The girlies from Potomac went to the Tecova store in the most recent season of Real Housewives of Potomac. And I was like, if Robin and Karen have Tecovas, I want Tecovas.
Well, I have a good reason too, because I've been doing a bunch of line dancing and I didn't have any cowboy boots. And so I got my Tecovas. And let me tell you, the difference it makes to be dancing in cowboy boots, huge.
On the line dancing floor. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. So you can really smack the floor and swing around. You need cowboy boots.
Yeah, I didn't get cowboy boots. I got Chelsea boots, but they're great. They're brown.
Oh my God, I can't wait to see them.
They're just, I like taking them on and off. They're so lovely. They're kind of a beautiful leather. They're beautiful leather.
Well, they're bringing a fresh perspective to heritage bootmaking. They've carried forward all the time-honored traditions and quality you find in a great pair of cowboy boots, but they've innovated on comfort, style, and service. It's true, because cowboy boots can be a little bit hard to break in.
Yep.
You know? Yep. Mine, I was swinging around, no pain.
No pain. And Tecova's is Western to their core. They offer a bunch of other head-to-toe Western staples like trucker jackets, the perfect jeans, performance pearl snaps, cowboy hats, bandanas, you name it. They'll get you outfitted. They believe in Western for all. And you can feel that when you go into their stores. When you walk in, you'll be greeted like family. I saw them do it to the girlies from the Real Housewives of Potomac. It seemed like they were being greeted like family. You'll be offered a boot shine and a drink. Yes, even the hard stuff if you prefer. And you can get custom fitted for a new pair of boots. But if you can't make it into a store, Tecova's delivers the most premium quality and the most comfortable Western goods right to your door. Visit tecovas.com, that's tecovas.com, and point your toes west. Oh, I forgot to mention that Drew Taggart and Chantal Jeffries broke up, Lindsay.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I saw the People photo where they were split, like they were ripped
in half. You mean the not hot chain smoker and Chantal Jeffries.
Exactly. The not hot chain smoker and Chantal Jeffries broke up a month ago. And to circle back to the Niecy Nash conversation, the People story is very like, it was amicable, doesn't really matter. And then there's just a source that says they broke up a month ago.
Yeah, they don't even, it was like forever ago.
It's like, it doesn't matter. You
but
just
what we're
notice.
Saying is the hot chain smoker still has a girlfriend.
Yes.
Oh, well.
And yes, he is the hot chain smoker.
But the not hot one is single. Okay, the hot, yeah. The other chain smoker is single. So if you disagree with our assessment, which is wrong, meaning you're wrong, we're right, then your chain smoker is single.
Yeah. Your quote unquote hot chain smoker is around.
Yeah.
He's available.
He's around. You know who was also around?
Tara Reid.
Yes, that was what I was going to say. Tara Reid looked youthful as ever as she attended the Scott Week red carpet launch party celebrating Scottish culture and excellence on Monday. In case you were wondering, Tara Reid is Scottish. She is Scottish, Irish, Italian, French, and Hungarian, and English. I would argue that's too many things to be qualified to go to Scott Week, which appears to be literally an event to celebrate Scottish heritage.
Yeah. I guess. I was trying to figure this out, too, and I think that's all it was. And usually it is in Scotland, also.
It had a great step and repeat with, like, with the Scottish heritage logo behind her, you know, and they had photos of her.
She took her dog.
And it says, at times, Reid struck a number of poses in front of the photographer solo, and then there were moments where she shared the spotlight with two dogs believed to be her beloved Yorkies, Besso and Bella. They did not check to see if those were actually her dogs, Besso and Bella. Nobody fact checked that.
You're just talking to the intern there. It's like, are those her dogs? What are the dogs' names? Sorry.
Besso and Bella. Besso and
Bella. Are those Besso and Bella? And then an intern is like, I believe so.
And then you're like, all right, I'm putting that in there. They're believed to be her Yorkies. She has two Yorkies.
Scott Week was started in Los Angeles also. That's weird. Okay. I guess it's not that weird.
I mean, if anyone's having in-person parties, I guess it's Scott Week.
It's this photo of her covered in like cheetah print and pterodactyls or birds.
Right.
It's just like, I don't think either of those are like native to Scotland.
Also,
but there it says
Scott
Scottish
Week, where's
pride.
Outlander? Where's the Outlander stars? Let's, come on, Scott Week. Tara Reid's the best you can do. I guess I'm really not seeing the best they could do. We're just seeing Tara Reid because that's what
not.
I clicked on.
I guess not.
Speaking of parties, this was one of my favorite things is that clearly some spawn for a hologram company made me laugh because Diddy did spawn and hologrammed himself into his son's birthday party. His son is named Christian Combs. Mm-hmm. And thanks to the folks at Portal, he beamed himself into his birthday party. Diddy appeared in life size as a 4K interactive hologram. I'm cracking up because literally Diddy's in LA and his son's in Miami. This hologram costs $60,000. It costs a lot less than $60,000 to fly private to Miami to go to the actual party. Diddy was like, son, I'm not coming to your party. I'm going to sponsored hologram into your party instead.
That's the hooey behavior here. Also, Christian is the who. Nepotism. He's 23. But
yeah, Christian's the who. Christian Combs.
Hologramming into a party is extremely hooey.
It is. And it's also just funny because it's like, can you imagine Christian being like, Dad, just come to my party. Please just come to my party. He's like, no, I have to hologram in because it's Spawn and gotta do it. I can't come. I got a hologram in. The other thing is I was looking up these holograms. I have to say, holograms are literally the, what do we call it, hoverboard of our generation, meaning we keep promising they're going to be real and something that people are going to actually use and
he's
be
on a
accessible.
Screen.
They're not. He's literally on a giant screen.
He's on a screen. And the thing about like holograms is you want to be able to, like when I hear the word hologram, I picture like an actual 3D projection
that you could interact with in
walk
a 3D
around with.
Way. Right.
Oh, there is his whole body. But right. No, they're all looking at
a
giant screen.
It's a screen. And we've come very far in screen technology, meaning like Drew Barrymore interviews, Oprah doing interviews like that. We've come very far. Like all the talk shows doing screen technology interviews, we've done it. But as far as actual holograms go, we're the same place we were 10 to 15 years ago. We have not progressed.
It's a $60,000 Zoom. That's all this is.
Stop trying to make holograms happen. Focus your energy.
I'm so mad at this.
Focus your science on creating chain restaurant food, but slightly better.
I mean, honestly, I thought holograms... Also, I thought the whole thing about holograms is that the technology is just so complicated and worthless that, like, it's VR now. Like, we're just, like, transitioning into VR.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like the dream of the hologram is not a reality, and we need to move on past this, you know?
I would be supportive of digitally projected facial hair, though.
Well, I was
going
to say.
That's got to be whatever than what Young Jock did.
Speaking of moving on past this, Young Jock did a fake beard. And I kind of love it, because people freaked out.
I'd say former them, current who.
He's a definite who, and I would not say former them.
Yeah, it's going down. It's like the only true hit.
Right.
Which is so, I can't even, I'm sure you're going to play a clip of it, and I will not be able to listen because that
it's
song
down.
Is just, of like, if, it, if a song,
it's going
if a
down.
Song topped the charts in 2006, like, it's way too triggering for me.
Meet
to
me
listen
in the mall.
To. Like,
I can't going hear down. It. Anywhere you
I
want.
I can't hear it.
It's
no,
going
stop.
Down.
Stop, stop, stop. It's going down. Meet me in the mall. It's going down. Meet me in the club. It's going down. Anywhere you meet me, guaranteed to go down. Meet me in the trap. So it's going down, crooner, Young Jock. I would have put money on this being, unlike the Michael Strahan thing, which shook me to my core because he did it on like March 30th. Which I think is unfair, and it shouldn't count as an April Fool's
we'll
joke that he
there.
Covered
we'll
his tooth gap.
Oh, well, actually, we Young shouldn't Jock's... talk about it. Michael Strahan got rid of his tooth gap, the gap in the middle of his teeth, and then it was an April Fool's joke that we fully bought because it wasn't on April. And Bobby claims that it doesn't count because it wasn't on April. But I claim it was just a really good prank because he fooled us by doing the reveal on April 1st, but he did the actual act, the prank, in March.
I mean, he did... give us a twist. We have our, you know, our ears are perked up on April Fool's. We expect a joke. So he was like, well, I'm going to do it a few days before, which is smart, but it's also not April Fool's. I just would argue that it's not April Fool's anymore.
I mean, but he did the reveal of the fool. You're just mad you got played by the fool. We both got fooled.
I'm mad that you got played.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Michael Strahan.
I'm just glad the gap is still there.
There weren't any good. There were not many good April Fool's jokes this year. Like,
nor should there have been.
Tori Spelling was like, I'm pregnant. Just kidding. And everybody was like, fuck you. You know? And it was like, okay, yikes, yikes, yikes. Which, honestly, that was fair.
Fuck.
But Young,
fuck you.
But Young Jocks was not an April Fool's.
It was
joke.
Not April Fool's.
He
so
did give himself
like
a
happened.
Fake beard.
He gave himself a fake beard. So it's like, depending on who you see, it's like fake beard, glued beard weave. It's not a weave.
You know what it is? It's very chia pet. That's what it reminds me of. It looks like a little chia pet.
I don't want to pretend to know how this technology works, but it's not a weave because you have to have existing hair there for it to technically be a weave. It's like kind of glued on. And if you didn't know that he didn't have facial hair, I think you could maybe be April fooled. Like if you didn't know what he looked like.
I would be fooled. It looks convincing.
You could be a little... If you gave him the benefit, if you were like really squinting, you're like, fine, this is real. But he famously like cannot grow because he's been on Love and Hip Hop for like 100 years. He's been on Love and Hip Hop Atlanta forever. So like he's talked about the fact that he doesn't grow facial hair and he wishes he could. So he can't.
I don't give a shit if it looks crazy or not. This ain't like I'm wearing this for like it's me. Y'all know I don't grow no facial hair.
It was for a role. He finally revealed it was for an acting role.
Role though?
He didn't say what the acting role was. He basically said, like, look, I'll do whatever it takes. I know it looks bad. I know it's, like, embarrassing, but I'll do whatever it takes to get, like, a check.
I mean,
and I'm doing this for an acting role.
There's a clip.
He didn't say what it was, but put the clip in. Yeah, he did it for an acting role. And it's gone. It's already gone.
It's a face wig.
It's a face wig.
It's a face wig.
It's not any other name you could possibly give it. It's just a wig.
What was she wearing? Where was she seen? She posted what on Instagram? She's the Who Queen. Tens of people want to know all about the number one Who. Lindsay, Bobby, tell us now. What's Rita Ora up to?
Who is this woman?
Rita has really gotten so in with the A-list crowd of Australia. Like
she's Australian
now. Hanging out with like Hemsworth wife, Isla Fisher, who moved there with Borat, and Tessa Thompson, who's starring in Thor. So it's like literally all of the kind of Thor adjacent A-listers who are staying there briefly and the Hollywood Australians who moved there, who live there permanently.
The Hollywood Australians.
You know what I mean? Rita's like in bed with them. She's literally going shopping with these women to a private shopping spree. They're opening the store for them so only they can shop in it, which is David Jones' department store, I guess.
Lindsay, rank them. From who to them? Rita Ora, Isla Fisher, Elsa Pataky, and Tessa Thompson.
Tessa's first.
Mm-hmm.
Isla's second.
Mm-hmm.
Elsa Pataky, then Rita.
Oh, you think so?
But maybe Rita's above Elsa Pataky.
Yeah, that was I thought because Tessa's
true. I'm
obviously
just biased.
Them, yes.
I know. Elsa Pataky really is not somebody that gets talked about unless she's the wife of Hemsworth in tabloids. Mm-hmm.
You forget who she is until you see them both in the same headline.
Rita,
no offense,
I just always
but, like,
assume is
the
whoiest who, but you're right. In this list, we have more who's than we know what to do with. But Tessa is definitely number one, I would say. She's like actually the one in the movie. She's the one in Thor.
Yeah, the other ones aren't.
Rita's about to appear in the background of Thor. She's working her way into some extras scenes. I swear to God.
This group of four ladies reminds me of like it's like the inverse of the like not even a Twitter meme, but like the reliable Twitter joke where you just see like four actresses together and it's like, write a rom-com for them, like write a movie for them. It's like if I saw these four together, I'd be like, you know what?
I'd rather not.
Never mind.
Yeah, no thanks.
I don't have to comment.
Rita also posted a picture of a Business World magazine and wrote, to India's most influential woman of 2021, Rita Ora on the latest cover of Business World BW, which I guess is an India-based business magazine. And Rita is the number one businesswoman of 2021, which we haven't even gotten halfway through, have we?
Have to say, I'm sus about this only because this cover looks fake as hell. Like, this cover looks like a Photoshop fake cover.
I mean, it looks also like she didn't really sit for this. It says, music to your ears. The music industry embraced technology to overcome COVID-19 setbacks. So I guess that's the theme. It's like Rita released an EP and like did stuff during COVID. So she's like on their cover.
Did Taylor Swift.
I know, but it's so funny to me that Rita is like.
And so did everyone.
I'm India's most influential woman of 2021. Yes, you actually are. To me, you are. It is true.
I mean, to be fair, take this news with a grain of salt because it is from the account Rita_bot_4.
Well, she posted it too. She reposted it and was like, yay. You know, like, I don't know if she even knows that she was on this cover. I mean, I know that she knows, but like that she she must have submitted some image, you know?
Yeah, I think this image is from the just the shoot from the bang, our big EP.
Where she looks
it's
like
from
Rina.
Her Rina Sawayama hair.
Yeah, her Rina era, her Rina era.
I'm just saying, this cover is as convincing as the cover from Kong versus Godzilla, in which, look at, I put the
well,
photo at the bottom.
I didn't see this yet. Scientific
I screen grabbed it.
The Kong Whisperer, Dr. Eileen Andrews. Who's the woman? Who's the actress?
Rebecca Hall.
And she's on the cover of this fake magazine called Scientific Future.
Dr. Eileen Andrews, the Kong Whisperer. And there she is smiling. Like, that is as authentic looking to me as BW Business World. We watched Twist.
I gotta say, it was very boring and yet very confusing. You know when it's a movie is so confusing it becomes boring?
Yeah, when I told Lindsay, I was like, weirdly, I was confused. And she was like, same. I was very confused. It's confusing.
It was confusing.
It's trying to do like an Ocean's 11-y sort of like
there was a
heist
lot of running
and
jumping.
And
like Jude Law's son got his pants pulled down by the cops. And like Rita's in a lot of it. And she's wearing a lot of different outfits, which I liked. And she's got like her accent. She's got like a slightly different accent going on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
but Jude Law's son, not good. Ralph Law, not good. Rita Ora's a better actor than Jude Law's son.
It was just a bad. I think it was just a bad movie. It was badly written. It was badly made.
But how
was
Rita?
Rita was perfectly fine.
Perfectly fine?
I think she was perfectly fine. I think she did what she was expected to do. I don't think she could. Okay, here we go. The best thing I could say about it. I don't think she could have done any better.
Yeah.
I don't think like that role could have been better than what Rita Ora did in that role.
Rita gave it her all. They gave her a lot of outfits, and I do think that she pulled it off considering who she was surrounded by. And the fact that these like Michael Caine, again, not doing his best, like she stood up to Michael Caine doing half speed, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the thing. Like, I would say Rita Ora's performance is better than Michael's because Michael is just so clear. Like, we know what good Michael Caine looks and sounds like.
Yeah.
And what he was doing was like
half-ass.
So half-assed. It was quarter-assed. And so was, and Lena Headey is like this evil lesbian. And it's just like, so, I mean, it was practically offensive what Lena Headey was doing.
Quarter-ass! So, quarter-ass!
It was a bad, bad movie.
She's better in Detective Pikachu.
She's wonderful in Detective Pikachu.
I am Dodge. This is Batesy, and together we...
Call in at 619-WHO-THEM to leave questions, comments, and concerns for our Friday episode because we are done with our Tuesday episode. We love your calls. Call in, leave the questions. Support us on patreon.com/WhoWeekly for twice-weekly bonus episodes. We're talking about Contact this week. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Retta saw a review that came in that was like, I don't listen to the call-in shows. I can't stand the callers, but I love the Tuesday episodes. 5 stars. And I was like, thank you.
So you're blaming
that.
Our callers, our fans, our listeners for that review?
Well, I like that they complained, but also gave us 5 stars. That was nice. I know people who only listen to the call-in episodes.
I know, which I love. Yeah. And I think that's
which
great.
I
and
do
I think you
do.
Can do what you want
to
do.
There's a lot of podcasts to listen to. Sometimes you're busy. You got to catch up on your Scientific Future. You got to catch up on your BW Business World. I understand. There's other things to do. So thank you for listening. We'll see you on Friday. Have a great week. Bye.
Bye.
You will drain it.
Today's episode of Who Weekly was brought to you by the CW's new series Kung Fu, premiering Wednesday, April 7th at 8/7 Central, or you can stream free next day on the CW app.